sadness has found me. I'd do anything for more time. Never before has someone meant more, and I can't get you out of my mind. There's so much that I don't understand, but I know you're dancing with angels. Your heart will be heard in your unspoken words through generations to come. There's so much that I don't understand, but I know.
Morning. We lost a friend this week, and heaven has gained a citizen.
Amen.
Ernie has passed through the veil that separates heaven and earth. Ernie is now living in the fullness of this scripture. Slide one. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. Our friend Ernie has now been made perfect. He now stands before the throne of grace, having received the ultimate healing. The ultimate healing. And I assure you, he has not stopped dancing. No more aches and pains, no more debilitating disease, no more worries or earthly cares. Ernie now has perfect peace, perfect contentment, and joy unspeakable. And pity us, we're still here. Have you ever wondered why those countless thousands of angels are in joyful gatherings? Luke 15:10 says, "The angels and indeed all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents and turns to God." Imagine the celebration when one of us sinners is welcomed home. Here in America, just America, not considering the rest of the world, but here in America, 2.5 million people pass into eternity each year.
Wow.
Imagine the number worldwide. But here in America, if only 10% of that 2.5 million are born again Christians, that's 685 people a day. Therefore, heaven is in a constant state of celebration. And there's never been a celebration anywhere on this earth that can compare. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire. I'm thinking Ernie was caught up in a fire truck. And not just any fire truck. We're talking the grandest hook and ladder you've ever seen. One of those that's as long as a city block and needs a driver in the front and a driver in the rear. However Ernie was caught up, I promise you it was grand. And was Ernie in awe of this? You know he was. The greatest struggle any of us ever have on this earth is to comprehend how much our Father loves us. Our infinite God is infinite love. We are all prodigies. And when we are welcomed home, we, like the prodigal son of Scripture, will receive princely robes, new shoes, a ring on our finger, and a festive celebration, and the warm embrace of our Savior. All this with the backdrop of angels in joyful gathering. And we will be in awe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for Ernie's homecoming. And we rejoice.
Yes.
We rejoice mightily in our hearts for his homecoming. We thank you for your great salvation. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning every word you have for us to hear. Open our ears to receive the depths of the truth. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Angels in the Balcony. Our text will be Hebrews 1. Hebrews 12 and Psalm 139. I have a friend who survived cancer several times and who is currently on dialysis. He has been told that his cancer has taken such a toll on his body that he is not a viable candidate for a kidney transplant. He'll be on dialysis the rest of his life. He said, "Ray, I told my granddaughter that when I die, I'll be looking over the clouds to keep an eye on her." I said, "No, you won't. You'll be too busy dancing around the throne of God. There'll be no need for you to worry about her because you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus and his angels will be watching over her and all those you love. And that's just one more reason you'll be dancing." Have you ever wondered how old we will be in heaven? Many believe that our resurrected and glorified bodies will be that of a 30-year-old. I happen to agree. Most of us here this morning would give anything to be 30 again. But there will be no need for walkers, canes, wheelchairs, or prosthetics in heaven. No need for Botox, facelifts, or cosmetics of any kind. No baldness, no thinning hair. Hallelujah. We'll all have perfect hair. Ladies, say amen.
Amen.
Our friend Ernie stands before the throne of God presently as a spirit. But if you've encountered an angel, you know that spirits have very real bodies, though Scripture says specifically they are spirits. So Ernie is not presently some ethereal being floating through the celestial city like a translucent vapor. He is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. His spiritual DNA makes him readily recognizable as the man he was here on this earth, and instantly recognizable to friends and family who are already there. But are there children in heaven? Yes, amen, I believe there are. After all, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Therefore, heaven will be full of children of varying ages, but none older than 30. I believe that if a child dies at age 6, they will mature to adulthood in heaven. So there will be infants, toddlers, adolescents, teens, young adults, and adults. No one on a walker, no one on crutches. And each will be a stunning original. But it's bittersweet to consider that all the abortions being committed in this country and around the world are forcing heaven to expand its nursery. I had twin daughters who died only minutes after their birth in 1977. I believe they were nurtured in heaven's nursery, graduated at kindergarten, and went on to Torah school. And I believe they spent countless blissful days with their grandparents, aunts and uncles, and a brother or sister I never knew. But ask me who I want to see first. When I arrive in God's great heaven, my Lord Jesus, of course, and after I've embraced him for several days, the next people I want to hug are those two beautiful girls. Never got a chance to hold them in this earth. We cannot now comprehend the glories of heaven. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Slide 2, please. This is the fourth week of Lent, and our Lenten verse is Hebrews 1 verse 3. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. When Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand, his work of accomplishing our salvation was finished, and his work as our high priest began. There is no further work the Lord Jesus needs to apply himself to on this earth, because he has entrusted that work of preaching his gospel to us. And we are fully empowered to do so by the Spirit of the living God. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. The name God used in this verse is the Greek word theos, which means the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So to say that Jesus radiates God's own glory and expresses his very character is to say that Jesus is the personification of the glory of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and is also the personification of the very character of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to get our Christology correct. And what is Christology? Christology is the study of the nature and person of Jesus Christ, his divinity and position in the Godhead, or if you will, the Trinity. We need to understand that Jesus is not only our high priest, he is our very own personal high priest, the personal priest of our family. We do not need a patron saint. We have direct access to God Almighty through the second person of the Godhead, our very personal high priest, Jesus Christ. He is our portal to the throne room of the living God. He is our emissary and friend. Slide 3, please. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 from the New King James. For in him, Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is very important in your Christology. You need to understand that Jesus Christ, the God-man, rose from this earth as a man in the flesh, and he will be flesh for all eternity. The Godhead bodily. We are a friend of God because of Jesus Christ. We are eternal because of Jesus. We are the children of God, adopted, redeemed, sanctified, and glorified because of the atoning work of Christ. Sacrifice on his cross. As I've stated before, Easter is not Passover. Easter is the name of a pagan feast that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Passover lamb of Exodus. And just as God honored the blood on the doorpost of Israel's houses to protect them from the death of the firstborn, to protect them from the death angel, he honors the blood of his son on the doorpost of our hearts. But what we need most to understand about Jesus is his work of salvation in our hearts. But what do we understand about the work of his angels? Slide 4, please. Hebrews 1, verse 6, 13, and 14. And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, "Let all the angels worship him." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for the people who will inherit salvation. At one of the lowest points in my life, I was in the middle of a divorce and had just moved my two oldest children into my apartment. I felt like I was carrying the weight of the world. And at that time, I was also training for a very important bicycle race. At least it was important to me. The training helped take my mind off all the pain and regret. But I desperately wanted to do well in this race. Psychologically, I desperately needed a win. Any kind of win. And I had done well in this race until near the end of the race was what local cyclists called the Three Sisters. Progressive hills right after each other, each one steeper than the last. I made it up the last hill, and I was toast. I could barely stay on my bike. And someone came beside me, very close, and said, "You can do this. You've got this. You can do this. Pedal, pedal." It was only 100 yards to the finish line, and I found new strength. And I made it across that finish line. And I could see out of the side of my eye a bright yellow jersey. I was so exhausted I couldn't even turn my head to see who it was. I crossed that finish line, I tossed my bike aside, and I waited to see that yellow jersey. And not one yellow jersey in the 100 people that crossed that finish line. God cares about everything you care about. Everything. New King James, are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels have ministered to you on countless occasions in your life, and you did not recognize who was helping you. You have encountered angels time and time again and did not realize. As believers, we each inhabit the New Jerusalem. However, we live in a separate dimension of that kingdom. We live in the earthly realm, but the angels exist in both realms and occasionally put on flesh and become very, very real to us. Ephesians 2:6 says, "We have been raised with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places." Our heavenly places are here on this earth. And therefore, wherever we are, those places are heavenly because we are in Christ and protected by his angels. Even though we are earthbound, this dimension is completely inhabited by angels. Angels are all around us. They're in the balcony, watching over us as we live out our days on this stage we call life. Billy Graham. Today we have the choice of whether or not to receive the ministry of angels. In choosing to follow Jesus Christ, we also choose the protective watch and care of the angels of heaven. However, at Christ's second coming, we will no longer be afforded the privilege of choice. Then it will be too late, and we will forever forfeit the gracious ministry of angels, the promise of salvation, and eternal life. End quote. When Satan rebelled against God's rule in heaven, 1/3 of the angels of heaven were cast out with Satan. Therefore, 2/3 that remain faithful to Almighty God are those who minister to us. In other words, there's a 2-to-1 ratio of angels who are for you, who are protecting you, who are serving you, as opposed to those who are against you. And those 2/3 administer the power of the omnipotent God of heaven and earth, the power that makes the demons tremble. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 1800s, was on his deathbed when he miraculously revived and had this to say: "God has permitted me to see beyond that thin veil that separates the seen from the unseen world." He continued, "I have been allowed within the gates of heaven and caught a glimpse of familiar faces, those whom I have loved and long ago lost." It was Moody who early in his ministry said, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am right now. I shall have gone up higher. That's all. I shall have gone up higher. I shall have gone out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body that is fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body." I've read Psalm 139 to many friends who were dying. I had it preached at my father's funeral. I prayed it over my mother as she was dying. I read it to my friend Ernie Williams before he passed. It summarizes the life of a believer and our glorious hope like no other. Slide 5, please. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." This God who intricately molded you together in your mother's womb will be intricately involved in your death. He will be very present. From the Message, "All the stages of my life were spread out before you, the days of my life all prepared before I had even lived one day. All the days, including your last breath. And your loving Father God has already appointed the angels who will attend your last hours and minutes and then carry you home to your loving Lord. The weapon Satan uses against us most effectively is fear. We fear what we do not understand. We fear what we do not comprehend about death and eternity. St. Paul said, 'For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.' Paul could not wait to get home. He walked in the heavenlies with Christ every day. He lived there. Paul's view of heaven was much clearer than ours. Why? Because Paul did not orbit in the sphere of Jesus' presence. He was totally absorbed by it. He was bonded to Christ like a proton in the same atom. When we are totally bonded to Christ, death has no sting. It is a long-awaited homecoming, a joyous homecoming. There's an old saying we have in the South that refers to a couple who is courting. It goes like this: she chased him until he caught her. Jesus chases us until we embrace the reality that he has already caught us. This is what Psalm 139 is saying. The God who created us with the express intent of catching us and lovingly embracing us for all eternity. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Slide 6, please. Psalm 139 again. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. When is God's comfort and peace the sweetest? In our pain, in our sorrow. When do we most need his peace that passes all human understanding? In our pain, in our sorrow. Revelation 21:4 says, "And he, our loving Father God, will wipe every tear from their eyes." Have you ever stopped and really thought about this verse? Do you realize this verse is talking about the new heaven and the new earth? That which will come to pass after the rapture of the church, after Jesus' second coming, and after his 1,000-year reign on this earth. Slide 7, please. Revelation 21, 1 through 4 from the NIV. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Slide 8. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain.'" Pay attention. "For the old order of things will have passed away." Christ's millennial kingdom will be the restoration of Eden. There will be mortals in Christ's millennial kingdom, human beings who will survive the great tribulation. They will propagate, and their children will grow to adulthood, marry, and have children of their own for 1,000 years. And these will eventually die. And as we administrate this millennial kingdom with Christ, we will be immortals. But there will still be tears in the millennial kingdom. Our heaven come down to earth as we administrate the kingdom of God, there will be tears. And those of us who live to see the rapture or die before it, do we really think if we stand before the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed, if we make it into heaven by the skin of our teeth, do you really think you'll have no more tears? Yes, you will. Do you think you will have no memories of family and friends who refused to accept God's grace, who refused his salvation? You will remember, and you will have tears, but not in the new heaven and the new earth, for the old order of things will have passed away. In the new heaven and earth, will your mind be purged of every painful thought and memory? I do not know. But I know this. There will be no more death, no more tears, no more pain. And the God of love, the God of all comfort, all peace, and all joy will reign supreme. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the days are dark and we need to be circumspect. Very circumspect about friends and family who are keeping you at an arm's length. circumspect about those who will continue in their sin to their eternal destruction. We have to be vigilant. I believe we need to be even forceful in proclaiming your gospel. We need your courage, Father, for there will be rebuke, there will be refusal, there will be rejection. But heaven help us if we do not speak. There will be blood on our hands if we do not speak your truth. Give us your strength, your courage, your passion for the lost. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings to you all.